Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Praise the living God, for whom all blessings. Once again, we come to you and thank you that God is so good. He loves us. One of the things I want to say tonight is that all God wants us to do is to make ourselves ready, because He is soon to return. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're on our way back to receive the righteous. And if we are righteous, we are available. One thing I will say to you with love and kindness, God we serve is an awesome God. To those of you who are calling in, we want to talk to you, but we want to invite God to be in and let God direct us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for everything that you have done for us, what you are doing right now. Your word is powerful. Your word is life. Speak to our hearts. We pray for somebody on the radio throughout the nation that don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but they will come to a point to know that He is the one. For without Him, we can do nothing. But it is through Him we can do all things. And I thank you, Father. I pray for the fivefold ministers. I pray for all those who are looking for Jesus Christ. I pray for those who believe that their bodies are healed. And, Father, that no evil shall befall them. For your word is sure. Your word is pure. I thank you, Father. I give you the love, and I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. One of the things I want to talk to us tonight about, for just a few minutes, we've got some people supposed to come on. We've been talking about angels. A lot of people call angels. And an angel is a creation of God. God is the one who brought them into existence. Angels have duties. And there are different types of angels. We have the angels that stood around God up there. Gabriel was there. He was the one who is the come with the announcement. He is the kind of a person, not person, but angel that come with the warning message. And then there was one that was up there who. And he did what he thought he could do. His name was Lucifer. And he was kicked out of heaven. And then there was another one there that was in the presence. And Michael was there. Michael was the one that he came down with Gabriel. He came with the word to Daniel. And he said, "Oh, man of God, we've been trying to get it to you for the last 20+ days. We had a war going on in the heavens. The angels, they're the dark angels, and I call them the right angels, angels of darkness. And I say, because the devil is evil, they're evil. Their intent is not to personify the name of Jesus Christ. The whole purpose is to debunk everything you as a believer can believe." I say this to you with joy in my heart. An angel is assigned to you. Now that I've mentioned the three angels, let me do some introduction to you and let you know this much. And let you know. See, they are forever, because God has made it so. Angels will also continue their work praising God and worshiping God throughout eternity. And those fallen angels will be in hell throughout eternity. In Revelation, turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 11 to 12. are. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb which was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory." Be blessed. God put this on his son, his beloved son. We go back and look at the scripture as they were round about. In verse 12, they say, with a loud voice, a voice that shook across the entire universe, "Worthy is the Lamb." The Lamb was Jesus Christ that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, and strength beyond understanding, honor beyond understanding. But our God, and glory, hallelujah, and blessing. See, Jesus Christ has come to bless us. The Bible says he has given us, who have given us spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We are blessed to be in his presence. Why? Because we know that we know what the Bible conferred to us, and we who believe the word of God will not go back to what somebody else has to say. We believe God's word. And I will say this one more thing. Every person, the Redeemer, they believe we're going to meet the angels. We're going to meet them. Faith is possible. The Bible tells us that we're living in the last days and that there are going to be multiple appearances of angels to mankind on earth. In many instances, every believer should take notice of this. Believers, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Believe this, if there's anything else, that you're going to be served. Now listen at this, served by angels. They will be there for everything that is needed for you to do what God needs to have done. But it's up to you. And I say this to you to know this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 14, here's what I would have you know. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, from whom shall be heirs of salvation? We are heirs of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus took it upon himself because the Father sent him, because no man was qualified. This is what happened. But the Son of God, he was unspotted. No spots were there, no lies. Nothing but righteousness and holiness was his call. Hence, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when we are pleased, when God was pleased about him, that's why the angels came down to minister unto Jesus Christ. Remember when he, to the scholars, to the believers, remember when he was in the wilderness, and God was right there with him. The angels were right there, but God was watching everything. And so here's what I will say this. See, some people don't believe this, but the Bible is true. We're going to meet angels in heaven. Well, I believe this is a great story. Well, it's up to the person if they want to believe. I can't make nobody believe. All I can say to you is, if you will believe on the word of God, God is available. Listen to what the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. We will have perfect knowledge. We will know people and angels instantly. Now, you know what? That's a good place to go. You ain't got to go there and argue with nobody. You ain't got to go there and fight with nobody. You ain't got to make it this. You ain't got to make it that. All you got to do is get on the ship of Jesus Christ. Give your soul unto him. Because he paid a ransom. And the ransom that was paid, prayed for the price, was his blood. He was whipped, beat up on, lied on. But the Bible say, open not his mouth. Say mumbling words. Because he was in obedience to what God had him to do. And see, also, this perfect knowledge. How many would you like to have perfect knowledge? You can't have it on this side. You can have some knowledge, but not perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge is what God's going to promise. And look, you got your Bible turned to it right quick. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 1 Corinthians 13, chapter the 12th verse. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but hallelujah, face to face. Face to face. We're going to be right there with him. We're going to see it face to face. But we're going to see through that glass to the dark. But when we in God's presence, we're going to see it clearly. And you know, one thing I will say to you, I want you to know this much. Angels are real, real, because God has purpose. Everything God has done has a purpose. Everything God will do is a purpose. Everything God has is a purpose. Throughout eternity, God's word does not slack. See, angels are there with a designation from God. And in Psalm 91, you read us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under his wings. But you read on down, and it says this to the believers. And his angels will have charge to watch over me. His angels will watch over me in all my ways. And I will say this, but I see I got a guest on the show. Hello? Are you there? Hello? Well, praise God. We keep on. And one thing I will say to the believers, we're living in a time where we're going to have to start praying more. The Bible tells us constantly, do not be caught up with a bunch of this. See, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. But there are a lot of people that don't know what you know. And all we can try to do is get them to see what God has said. Do you know some people are going to say, I don't believe that? Why do you not believe it? Because they haven't given their lives completely over to Jesus Christ. When you give your life over to Jesus, you become a prayer warrior. You become a prayer watcher. You become a prayer person. Who would edify the name of Jesus Christ, who would say it's him, not me. And all God wants to do is, God wants us to just, see, if we can just trust God. The Bible says this to you and I. It says, a man who keeps the law will not be justified before God. Because faith is what we live by. God spoke the world into faith. He did a multitude in faith, and God did it. And so it's up to us as believers in the body of Christ. And then I will say this to you. We need some warriors. We don't need the men. What are they for to stand there right now? And they come on. Well, the women are in charge. That's a sidebar. Let me tell you something. Women are doing what God told them to do. Men are afraid to come together. Why are we afraid together? Because we still have that attitude. We think we are in charge of. And as I said some time ago, some man was bragging and boasting about he was in charge. And the wife heard it. And man didn't know the wife was coming around. That the wife was coming around the corner. And somebody said, oh man, your wife? he just said, oh, he said, oh, well, that's right. I turned the sweep on, the sewing machine, I turned the vacuum on, I turned the dishwasher on. So that's all he has to do. But that's not what God put us here for. He put us here to be a governing authority. And hey, we ought to make sure that the women have a husband. And if we're going to see, the Bible says, the Bible says this. See, and here's what I will say to you. What God let us know is this. We must come to an understanding of what God has said to us. God wants us to know. God doesn't hate us. The devil hates us. God does not hate us. And I've come to say this much. I know that I know. God don't hate me. The devil hates me. Why does he hate me? Because I am pursuing God's challenge, man, and righteousness. Because if I walk in righteousness, if I live in righteousness, if I do it in righteousness, God has made it so possible for me. Because as I was reading, said, oh, Lord, help me to understand your word. All that is written, all that is written. Said to Joshua, he said, listen, Joshua, in chapter 1, he said, the word that I give to you, let it not depart from you. Meditate upon it night and day. Why? Because it will make your ways prosper. When you meditate and think of nothing but the word of God, your attitude from everybody else, you see what you see, and God is letting angels come down to the earth right now. And people don't know that he already is down there. Sometimes you think, who's that I saw? See, angels, they move in, I guess, a microsecond or hours of seconds, but they move so fast, don't nobody know. See, but it's a mandate. See, it's a mandate. I must keep the word of God. I must love the word of God. I must be humble to God, love the Son, Jesus, with all that I have. Worship him and praise him, and he takes it to the Father. This one is worthy. That's how I'm trying to get us to do is have a lifestyle to live before God. I'm trying to get one to live holy, to live life before the Lord Jesus. Empty yourself of all the flesh and pride and unforgiveness and strife. Come on now. Get meek and gentle and humble yourself. But spend time and spend time and spend time. Well, you read too much, soul. Ain't no problem reading too much about God's word. I used to have to read the whole book when I was going to college to understand it. Sometimes even though I have to go with somebody else to get me a deeper revelation. But when I get in God's word, the Holy Spirit brings me to a deeper walk with God. Deeper walk with God. I must pray. I must seek God. I must seek the mind of God, not the mind. The mind that we have down in this earth, you know, we know math, we know science, we know electricity, et cetera, et cetera. But the mind of God, the infinite mind, the more we seek his mind, the more we open up by the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to all that God would have us to do. And I want you to believe and know, understand it. We are to be motivated by love. Don't hate nobody. Don't go putting them down. He should have done this and they should have. You ain't done nothing yourself. Stop trying to put each other down. That's not God's memorandum. God doesn't want us to put each one down. Well, I'll just ask the question, how many of you judge yourself? Most people say, no. You don't judge. No, I'm going to judge myself. So when I stand before God, Jesus Christ, I know that it will be a fasting and standing before God because I judge myself. Here's how I judge myself. Father, I made some mistakes today. I saw some things. I shouldn't have done some things. Will you forgive me? I'm judging myself, Lord. Lord, I know I should have did this. I know I should have spoke. I know I should have smiled. I judged myself. I know I should have went to your house and do what you told me. I judged myself. But you, Father, you, I hold my conscience clean before you because I cannot approach you. And Jesus cannot make me presentable to you because of my prayer that you will answer me. And you know what? God's going to understand and he's going to hear me. You know why? God's going to do the same to you. Because we know to the believer. God wants us to come to the reality of him. And when we take the word of God and know exactly what God will have us to know. Listen to him. Let me give you a scripture. In Exodus 32, chapter 32, 31 and 32. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep before the hand of the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God, and do not yield your heritage to reproach that the nation should rule over them. Oh, here was a prayer of being prayed. Because something happened in this. See, the same thing Israel did. We in America, we in the Church of Christ, we in the Methodist, we in the Baptist, we want to be our own ruler. Come on and speak. See, but I have to tell you this. Men want to be in charge of what they want done. But when God set up a fivefold ministry, you read it in the Old Testament, in the Isaiah, it's in the New Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, Ephesians, where God says he led captives, and he went down below, went up, and he sent back gifts. A gift is a apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, the fivefold ministry. Those are gifts. They are not so somebody can set those tunes so high. And they're on the same level because they have to give responsibility. Now, the only difference is in one. Because that one is going to receive a greater crown. But all of us are going to receive crowns. We're going to take our crowns and we're going to toss them at the feet of Jesus because we know we're not worthy. He's the one who's worthy. Worthy of them. Remember saying earlier about he was worthy, slain from the foundation? He was worthy. And he's still worthy. There's no God like him through Jesus Christ. And you know what? As I see myself in the mirror, God sees his son the same way. And I can just imagine, if God would allow me to, the son says, I love you, Father. And the son says, I love you, Father. And the father says, I love you, son, I love you. They just keep doing love pact between each other. Do you know that is something else? That's a person who loves God. He loves God. He loves God. He loves God. Lord Jesus, I'm in the same room. I love God. God has done for me. I am of the same. I love God. Am I willing to give my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes. I am willing to give my life. Why? Because God has made it so. Man, it's up to us to believe. It's up to us to believe that we want to do what God has said to us to do. And we have to understand what God is saying to us. See, When there is an enemy in this world, he is a fallen foe. Satan has a rule that he has come to seek and to destroy the people of God. He said to Job, and thought, where are you going, Satan? God called him by his name. He said, I'm going to and fro. They're seeking whom I may bring it under captivity. And God has so much confidence. And see, does God have that confidence in you, man? He says, have you considered Job? Lucifer, Satan said, yeah, I'll consider it, but I can't ever get to him because you got him, you got a boundary around him. God said, okay, since you want to be big mouth, he said, you can do everything you can to it, you can't take his soul. Now, how would anybody know that but God? God knows if my heart is given to him. And then he's going to do everything he can. But he sent an even greater one named Jesus Christ. But through that particular time, it was to let you know. Jesus was there in the Bible. But he wasn't manifested like he was in the New Testament. But he was there. And here's Satan going to come and say, yeah, he come and he try to teach him everything he can to this man. Even his wife came and said, why don't you just go on through this here, sir? Why don't you just curse God and go on die? He keeps that around. He said, woman, you speak like a foolish woman. Do you know you got people that live in this life today who have the same mentality? They know what they know and don't want to say nothing. They won't even do nothing. But God is saying to the men, see, we have to, if we're on the same wavelength, see, let me explain this to you, sideboard. They got FM, they got AM, they got internet. And let me tell you what I think is different to you. Amplified module, when you have a radio station that has a 1, 7, 6, 50, 1300 or 1400 AM, amplified module. But when you have FM, your frequency is at a different stereo operation. But when you have internet, it goes up higher. Therefore, every one of those signals are sent out into the earth rim and through in heaven. Wow. As I told the person once, and it was proven some years ago when they found out something that don't pass and come back there. And it was a picture of a show. And they understand. It goes out there. Somehow I never thought of a way of letting it return back. This is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I ain't going to try to. All I can do is understand what he's doing for me. I don't care how many you made. How much you've done, all I know is I love you. And you have a right. Whatever you want from me, I want it because you promised me. You promised me, Lord. You said if I would submit to Jesus, to your son Jesus, and acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in my life, then I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Are you saved? Understand this. Here's what Jesus said for us. He intercedes for the weak believer. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 32, and you'll find something. Jesus has interceded for the weak believer. Do you know we got some strong believers? Do you know that some weak unbelievers on both sides of the aisle? But here's what God's Son says, our Savior. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Wow. See, a lot of folks say, strengthen the brother. I ain't saying about getting nobody strong. Nope, that's not the right attitude. We need to reach the unreached and tell the untold. And here's what I'll say, and our enemies. Jesus figured he tell us about, he intercedes for our enemies. In Luke 23, chapter 23, verse 34. For when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garment and cast lots. That was at the time you were being crucified. And how can we say then? We don't want to serve God. We don't go to the church and support the fivefold ministry. One person do it. I don't go to that church because preachers think he's everything. Some preachers need even God's preachers. A God's preacher will say, oh, man, we're glad to have you. What can we do to make this thing happen again? But to see, an attitude must be enforced right for righteousness. Do you believe that you believe that you believe? Yes. If you do, you can be touched by God. One thing I will say this to you in John 14:16. And Jesus, I think we all know this. And Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus said, I will praise the Father, and he will give you another, a helper, that he may abide, oh my God, abide with me forever. Not sometimes, forever. When is forever, forever? How soon is forever, forever? Woo, Jesus. That's what God says to us. That's what God believes for us. That's what God has for us. That's what God is saying to us. He said, my son has prayed for you. And I say this to some of us who are living in the body. God needs us. I need God. I need him. The move we need to make, we need to forgive and forget, press on, do what God told us to do, obey God, honor God, and let God be who he says he is. You can't fight with God. Your arms are too short to fight with God. And the church, these two things, the believer, the enemy, the Holy Spirit, and here's the church. And you know, we've got a lot of people that, I don't want to go to that church. Well, that's a negativism. This or that. Understand what it says. Jesus says again, he said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Now, why wouldn't he pray for the world? Here's what. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for us. And I'm telling you, God is awesome. Everything God does, it has a keyhole. It's open. We can come to God and accept him and let him do what he says he's going to do. And see, and what we need to do, prayer. A lot of people don't pray one for another, but we need to start praying one for another. I want to encourage you, pray one for another. See, our acceptance must understand that God and as a seed further. Romans 8:34 says, who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also making intercession for us? Jesus interceded. See, the Apostle Paul was in He was in writing, and he wrote with God for the life. He challenged the believer. He challenged the believer. And intercede. We're making it possible for every believer. That's all. To get into the body of Christ. Well, see, that drug addict, he needs us. Not going to put him down. Before I come to know Jesus, I also had some things that were not right. But God is still available. He is still available to us. And for all of us who know that we can. See, God puts nobody down. And you know what I love about God? Whosoever will, let him come. Are you a whosoever? Whosoever will, let him come. Let them come. Let them come. In Hebrews chapter 7, 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives with intercession for us. Man, what good company it is. Pastor was talking about it this morning out of the book of Luke. When we in good company, we want to stay in good company. When we want to obey God, we want to do it what exactly the way God is doing for his son. God ain't going to change. But he makes the way for us to speak. He makes the way for us to get out of a situation, a problem. Same about the person who's selling drugs. You know we got some people in the world, in the church, who's selling drugs. Got some people selling whiskey. But that's not the right place. That's where we, as a believer, need to continue to intercede for them. So that somebody can see for me, I for them. Because we've been called by God to intercede for our brothers. Because the Bible says, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you are a liar. You are a liar. I don't care if you're in the fire soul, I don't like them, you're a liar. And the truth of God is not in you because you have not seen him, nor do you know him. And that's what brings us into the arena of what God wants us. And beloved, I can say this to you. A lot of men won't pray at their houses. They're busy doing what they want to do, and that does it all. They does it all. They don't want to do it. They want to do all. They don't want to pray. They don't want to. You see, I have to let it be said. Prayer is covering for the household and the extended family. Jesus said, I have sheep that you know nothing about. He says, I have sheep that you know nothing about. Well, what is he saying? He says, if we pray for my household, pray for another household. For somebody or another, we don't want to. When we pray and our prayers cover the entire community, the pastor, congregation, local ministers, anointed ministers, evangelists, I live in a subdivision. I pray for it all the time. Pray for my neighbor next door, my neighbors on the other side of the world, schools, colleges, universities. Oh, I just read well. All for those in the medical protection. Because God is going to hold up. If you're going to be a righteous judge, you better learn something now. And it is understanding what God wants to do through us. See, and what we need to do, everybody said, well, I'm going to go up and lay hands on the mayor. Don't do that. unless God the Father speaks directly through Jesus to you, Mr. Mayor, I need to have a private conversation with you. You know what body God's going to stay about 2 or 3 feet from him or her? Tell me what God has said. Well, I was praying for you, and the Lord said he wants to do this. Don't go down with a negativism, because you have to remember what the Bible says. Remember, you're standing before a judge. They can put you in and put you away, but the enemy knows. That's why we need Jesus Christ. I need the Lord. I need him more than I can ever express to you, because you want the same thing. It's not how much money you have, not how many cars you have, not how many degrees you have. As Paul said, I counted all as dung that I may gain the more excellency of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. You got an upcoming nails off. Time to change nails. We just changed to the council. The time is up. We got police department, the head of the police department, and they need to change because it's all political. See, even at the highest rank, government, senator, United Representatives, see, when you read Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, you'll find what I'm saying. How that we're supposed to pray for all these different people. But I'm here to tell you what God is saying. And God is so good, so loving, so kind to us. And we got the power. We have the power of an intercessor. Here's what I took a note from a book I have. Ezekiel 22:30-31. For the intercessor. So I saw for me a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy. Are you going to stand in the gap for somebody today that needs you? Somebody in the gap that can walk with you, can walk through you, can walk for you? But I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their heads, said the Lord God. Within the time, God says to us, he loves us. He loves us. He wants us to come in and know that he will say, he says these words, he says, my people, the Bible declares in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people that are called, that are called, that are called, that are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal the land. And heal the land. Look, in America, put a pin in here. America needs prayer warriors. A prayer warrior from each state who will send me an email to willisdayhunter@yahoo.com. I want to have each state at the same time. I said I want to even designate 3 hours of daytime for prayer for the nation, for the city you live in, for the county, for wherever you live in the 50 states and in the other 6 continents, because we got to get busy about our Father's business. We must start getting more in tune to what God would have us do. If you know you can't preach, speak. If you ain't got the gift of laying in, learn. The Bible says, Jesus said, learn of me. sensitive scriptures, and the scriptures, you said the scriptures speak about him. From the beginning of Genesis to Revelation speaks about the Son of God. God's not going to judge the world. It's done. We're going to be there with him. How I know? Because Jesus said so. In Luke 22, chapter 22, verses 29 and verse 30, as the brethren were making a big discussion about who's going to sit here, who's going to do this, and who's going to do that, and he said, hold it, guys, hold it, wait a minute. That's not what God has. He said, limitation, as the Father gave me a king, I'm giving you a king. You will, Lord, yes, I'm giving you a king. No, you can trust on me for the king. He sure is. That I might judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But that's a new name. That's a new name. The twain shall be one. Israelites, God has a new name for Israel. A new name. A new creation. A new creature. And that's what God is looking for. I pray for the Israelites, and I know that God's word has been solidified, it's been bona fide, it's been taught, it's been preached. And a lot of people have to stay true to God, because God, he needs us more than what we all him. And see, we don't have a lot of people want to talk about repentance. All need to be repentant. They ain't done nothing wrong. That's not right. Why would John the Baptist come along and say, repent, turn back. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was an earth realm being. But he had this man because he was out of the country from somewhere, and God was still right there. Said this in Mark 1:5. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And believe the gospel. Look what God wrote about here in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 35:15. I have always sent to you all my servants, the prophets, raising up early and sending them, saying, turn now every one of us from his evil ways. Amen, your doing. And do not look after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your father.
Yes, sir.
But you do not incline your ear, nor obey me. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hey, how you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing okay. You got a word you want to talk on the radio, somebody?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 7.
Okay.
And that's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who finds. And to him who knocks, will be open. Oh, what is the man among you who, if his son asks for bread, to give him a stone?
My Lord.
Or if he asks for a fish, and give him a serpent? If then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good gifts?
Yeah.
Things to those who ask him. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
When Jesus spoke that, that was most, I guess that had to have been the most powerful thing that those, that group of people have ever heard. And it still works for them then, and it still works for us here today. Because, that last statement, when Jesus said that, that hung all the law. That put the law in perspective, because if you don't want nobody to steal from you, you don't steal from nobody. If you don't want nobody to mistreat you, you don't mistreat nobody. And and Jesus said, you know, those who follow him or those who chose to believe him or follow his ways, it's as simple as asking, and it'll be given to you. As simple as seeking, and you'll find it. As simple as, you know, knocking on the door, and you'll receive it. And he even gave you an example. He said, you know, you fathers love your children, and you don't even have to be, you know, a follower of Christ Jesus. I mean, there are fathers that don't even love Christ Jesus. There's atheists, people that, you know, say they don't even recognize God, and they treat their children right. They don't abuse their children. They're nice. And some people say, well, they're good people. You know, they're good. So if they're good to their children, how much more better than our Father would be to us? All we have to do is seek him. And I know a lot of us are, I know me and you had this discussion at your house. I know a lot of us, you know, we get the big educated head. You know, we so educated that we can't see the simple things of Christ. And it's just it's as simple as,
you know,
just
so
ask.
They are so simple until it motivates us to say, it's like the water's cold. A person can say, no, I don't think it's cold. Well, if you're going to believe it's cold, good. Believe it's up to you. But it's up to you, the believer. I like where you put that scripture in there. When you ask, Why is it possible for God to when I ask something, God will do it. But to ask him means I've got to, am I still on the right track with you? I must seek constantly.
That's right.
Sir?
That's right. Yeah, when you ask, you. I know a lot of us, we get in our heads, and I think we kind of humanize God. Sometimes we kind of humanize God, or we bring God down to our level, or to, you know, our situation. And then we ask God, we ask, and we just think God is supposed to be, you know, our errand boy. Asked God for $1 million, and he ain't gave it to me yet. I asked God to help me pay this light bill, and he ain't done it yet. You got to keep asking. You got to keep asking. That's called faith in works. And I know a lot of people, you know, those educated heads, you know, they get that works. You got to do work for your salvation, or you got to do works for your salvation and all that other crazy stuff. But faith is something that you work. It's just something that you do. Say, for instance, I go to my car. I turn my key. I believe it's going to start. I mean, I'm not sitting there watching the actual wires go and turn the flywheel and turn the pistons and make the – I don't see all that happening. I don't see none of that happening. I just believe that when I turn my key, my car starts. I don't even go through all the steps in my mind. So sometimes, like I said, we kind of bring God down to our level, and that's – To me, that's just a level of disrespect, because if you're asking for something, you keep asking. You keep talking to God. God loves to hear us talk. He loves it. I'm quite sure when Adam and God was talking and before he made his little mistake, but he made his big mistake, I'm quite sure they were having some fun conversations. I'm quite sure they were having some total good conversations. And I'm quite sure God missed that conversation with us. And he wouldn't let all of us be here if he couldn't hear all of us. So if we get in our little mind that, you know, well, God don't have time for me, or I'm not important, every last one of us is important. And we wouldn't be here if we wasn't important.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that people are saying makes a lot of sense. See, if we can reach to men to come to an understanding, because, as I say, I don't put a man down and smoking and selling drugs. I'm sometimes I show him a better way out. You don't need to do that, brother. Let me
right.
show you how you do your job. Get you a lawnmower and go cut some yards. And you can make you more money cutting yards every day if you got you an edge and a blower, some gas, and go in there and tell this person, say, I'd like to take care of this yard here for you. Go and make that yard look spectacular, different. Somebody going to see the quality of your work. You know what they're going to do? Well, then, can you come back 2 weeks from now? And how much you think of? That's how you get yourself established. The same you do the simple things is even simple with God. You come and ask God, want to know if you're going to seek it.
That's right. That's right.
Are you going to seek it? Well, I don't know today. I don't feel like praying today. Well, that's hogwash. Are you going to keep knocking on the door of opportunity? See, God wants to use you and I and others who believe. He wants us to be an example to what he wants done.
Yes, sir.
And I see this, sir.
I was agreeing. Yes, sir.
Oh, and I come to an ultimate conclusion. Everything I've asked God for, he's done it.
Amen. Glory to God.
He's done it.
Glory to God.
Asking, seeking, and knocking for more. Because I believe
Amen.
In God, he wants to do more. I'm believing it. And God wants to do more, and I'm going to let him do more. That I can
I know that's right.
Him.
I know that's right.
See, and I know that one of these days I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave this body, but I know I'm going to be in a new body. And I'm going to be right up there with him because there's a place that he has reserved for all of us who believe.
Huh.
He's left a place for us. Amen. It's in the bosom of Abraham.
Yes, sir.
It's in the bosom of Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. So you can believe it's multiple, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
What do you think it was said in the book of Matthew, Luke, and John, and the bigger man went to heaven? He died and went. He didn't go to heaven. Went to a place called there. And they saw him sitting in the bosom of Abraham. And the brother died. And he said, "Let me send my brother back and tell him you don't want to come on this side over here." No, but no. They had an opportunity, and God said, "Why should I? I've said my son, they don't believe." Now you think about that. To the believers out there, maybe you're right. Somebody out there know what the book says. It's in the
29th
chapter of Matthew. But it's I ain't going to tell you how to. You got to search and find it in the scripture. See, the more you search God's word, the more God is going to open your understanding.
That's right.
God opens your understanding. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And all I can say, well, let me ask you this, my brother. How do we get more people to pray?
Ooh, man, that's a tough question. How do we get more people to pray?
Yes.
Wow, that's a tough question because that would actually come from our Father, and I understand his position on him wanting us, because prayer is just a conversation with God. I mean, it's not a, I don't know, nobody, I mean, Jesus did give us a formula. He gave us a formula. He told us to first recognize our Father, then he told us to honor our Father, Then he tell us, you know, ask, you know, what's going on in our lives, and realize that, you know, that before you go to our Father, you know, you got to come and you have a clean heart. You got to have a clean heart. You can't come to the Father with a dirty heart. So first you got to confess your sins, then you got to confess, you know, or any other, if somebody done something to you, you got to let that go. Because you can't, like I said, you can't come to God with no dirty heart. You just can't come to him with dirty hands. You just can't do it. So Jesus gave us a format. But I love Jesus because Jesus gave us a format. But he also told us we can go to our Father. He said it's finished. When he said it's finished and the veil ripped straight down the line, that means, you know, we all have access to God, every last one of us.
Yeah.
But we must recognize who we got this access through. Don't ever forget, you know, because at the end, Jesus said, you know, and you do it in my name. So you got your access card through Jesus. That's the only way you got in.
Yeah.
So more prayer, that would actually come from the Father. And if we look at our lives and look at the things that's going on in our lives, definitely, we would definitely be in more prayer. Because if we look around us, I'm quite sure, I heard you earlier praying for your neighbors. I mean, you can look around and say, hey, man, I see my neighbor going through a tough time. You know, let me go talk to God. Let me get on my knees and talk to God. Hey, God, you know, my neighbor, he having a tough time. Now, I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Help my neighbor. Because you never know. That prayer that you sent up for your neighbor, it always come back to you. Because God knows. And God knows our hearts. He knows. I mean, we're not going to get any God is a just God. Everything he does is going to be justified by him, not by us. Because my justification, like I always say, if I was God and I was handing out justice, I would send me. I'd be the first one. No, send that one straight to hell. Send that one straight on. Because I know me, and I know my heart, and I know, you know, the sin that surrounds me or the sins that are in my life. So, you know, like I said, Jesus did it all for us. And if we just look around.
If we just look around
in our lives, and like I always say, you know, be honest. I mean, don't try to, you know, because you can't trick God. I don't know. Human beings, we trick each other every day. I mean, we do. We say one thing and do another. Or we say we're going to do something, and we know in our hearts that we ain't going to do it. But you can't do that to God because he knows. He knows.
Yeah. I'm turning to the 17th chapter of John. You got it? 17th chapter of St. John?
Yes, sir.
And what does it say there? I want to show you something. And the 17th chapter.
What verse?
Verse 1 says what?
Jesus spoke these words. Lift up your eyes to heaven and say, Father.
Father,
the hour has come to glorify your Son, that you may also be glorified, that you may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh.
If he has given him power over all flesh.
Yes, sir.
Think of this. Jesus has been given power over all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
All flesh.
Uh-huh.
The mantle.
Yes.
Human flesh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He should give eternal life to as
That's
many
right.
that have given him. See? And God
That's right.
has given to him to bring us in. I want to bring that in so it can be a solidification. Now read on down to verse 5. You'll see something there.
Verse 5. Verse 5 says, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I have with you before the world was.
Man, Lord, my God, my God. That's Jesus talking to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, man. But when you look at the royal diadem here, it says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self.
Mm-hmm.
With the glory, with God's own self. We still don't understand because all God is a spirit. We ain't never seen God, but we
That's
see
right.
Jesus. We've seen him through Jesus Christ. But here's what he says also, which the glory which I had with thee before,
mm-hmm.
before the world was.
That's right. That's right.
Now you tell me, can we reach out there and get somebody to look into that and say, come on, brother, man. Come on, sister. Come on. Let's go to church. Come on. Let me sit down and explain something to you. The basic ABC. Do you love it?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you hate it? No, you don't hate it. You love it. You got to receive. Wow. But see, I studied these, and as I read into it, you're going to find here, if you go through it and you see it, oh, Father, you see where it said, oh, Father, Father, oh, Father, read on down. He said, I've met her, and then verse 6 says what? Now, this is for you as an also believer. Say, what?
Verse,
and,
you want me to read verse 6?
Yes, verse 6.
I have manifest your name to the men whom I have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, and they were yours. They gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
Oh, Lord. What do you read into that? What do you read? What do you read into that?
Jesus is simply saying, you know, when he said, I manifest your name unto men, you know, he's letting them know that, hey, I'm the Word. I'm the living Word. And when God said he was going to save man, he spoke me into existence. I was spoken in existence. So that manifestation is coming from, you know, God in him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he said, for whom ye have given me out, well, I just said that, give me out of the world, out of the world. You know, the men, us that are in the world were given to him.
Amen.
And then they were yours, meaning, you know, God created us. That's just simple math. They were yours. God created us. He's the creator. So he belongs to us. I mean, I don't care what, you know, the atheists say or what other people say, but he's still our creator. You can deny him and act like you don't know him, but he's still ours. I mean, we belong to him. And then he says, you've given them to me, and they have kept your words. Now, that goes back to what I was just saying a minute ago. Well, if you keep
uh-huh.
God's words, no matter if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Old Testament believed Jesus was coming, and those who were walking with him believed he say who he was, and we believe that he was. I mean, that he, well, I should say he is.
that
he is was.
He is. Because
he still is.
He still is.
I wouldn't serve a dead God. I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't serve a wooden mandal or wooden piece because I don't believe it would do much for me. So, I mean,
well, you know,
I'd have to.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, I wouldn't serve anything that, you know, that I mean, that I couldn't actually get any benefits out of. And I know God has given me some great benefits. I know God has looked out for me. God has answered prayers. I prayed for this, and God took care of this. I know God has been taking care of me, so I haven't been doing a good job of taking care of me, but he's been on his job. So, and believe me, I keep God working. Trust me.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I just say, and doing this for the audience out there, if you get into the book of John and begin to read it, you're going to find out that Jesus Christ talked to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to the Father. And he put into full understanding what the Father was doing. Somewhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jesus said, it said, show us the Father, that it will suffice us, and we'll
mm-hmm.
be happy. And
mm-hmm.
the Father spoke to Jesus, you mean I've been with you all this time?
And you don't know who I am.
And you don't know who I am? Man, wow. See, but that humanistic attitude, like you said,
right.
Smart is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Go ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you mean, Jesus the Lord had told you he can't do nothing to the Father. Who raised that dead man God did through Jesus? Who laid hands on that young man who was in the coffin? God did. Who's that woman at the issue of 12 blood? God did. Who's that blind man by the phone? God did.
Who's the one that forgives them sins? That's what really got some people hot. Jesus was talking about forgiving people's sin. That really got them hot. Like, wait a minute, who do you think you are? Can't nobody but God forgive sins. that was them Pharisees and Sadducees. That was them smart people. That was them educated ones.
I call them sardines and crackers. I call them sardines and crackers.
Yeah, they were the educated ones.
Oh, yeah. They knew so much
that they missed the Messiah. I was like, man, you can know that much and miss the Messiah?
Wow.
He was telling them, who you think Moses was talking about? Who y'all think Moses was talking about? Who you think David was talking about? And y'all missed it?
Somehow or another, they missed it. And see, the real issue that brings us to a format of what God is saying through us, because God desires, and what he says in verse 22, while I was with them in the world, I have kept them through thy name. See, he kept us through God's name, the Holy Father.
That's right.
That's given myself. I have kept, and none of them are lost, is lost, but the son of perdition. Who was that? That was that one that went and snuck up on him and said, Jesus whom I kiss. He's the one, Jesus, and he kissed him, and he said, and I love Jesus. He knew his heart because God had solidified him to the point. And when he did what he did, Jesus said, do what you do and do it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to do it quickly. So we have to frame the same parameters. We have to have holy boldness, not stupidity, but we got to know that we know that we know what the word says. Jesus said to leave from one place to another place is coming unto God. And you know one thing I love about what God does? He still loves us, man.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Even me.
Oh. Even me. See, there are a lot of people in the world that want to come to God. And what I want us to know is we're going to get them to God. And the thing that we take under consideration, the more we love God, the more God loves us. See, it's like this man said.
I don't see it that way.
Yes, sir.
I said, I don't see it that way. I see it as, you know, because the Bible says he loved us first. And I know in my heart that he loves me way more than I love him.
Yeah, well, I mean, once you come to know him as a believer, see, you come into the royal concept of God. And you say, okay, God, you do this and I'll do this. God said, yeah, he will. See what God will see. God, he will say to us, and Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me?"
He said, "My sheep."
You know I love you. Why you want to ask me? Do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. He asked him three times. Why? Because he had already disqualified himself from saying that he was willing to die with Jesus Christ. Well, he was testing. Jesus told him,
"That's
before
right.
Before you smell it, the rooster will crow three times."
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to call him with us. Hello, caller. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing? How you doing today?
Amen. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Trying to be obedient, but I'm doing fine. Just listen. I'm sorry.
You got a word you want to speak? It's open discussion.
Oh no, God is just good. It's just good. Today has been a blessing. You know, the lady came and just brought me some clothes, and she had told me a long time ago she was going to bring me some clothes, and I forgot about it because it's been so long. But she said she woke up this morning pulling clothes out of her closet. I said, I guess God wants me to do something. You know, he blesses you, you know, before, even though you see all the other stuff, but then it's like, oh, that's a blessing. I said, okay, God, what you want me to do? You bought me some nice
that's
clothes
right.
for what,
that's right.
What do you, because, you know, people look at you when you walk into a church, and these are kind of like church clothes. I said, okay, Lord, what you want me to do?
He's gonna give you some provision before he send you anywhere. He's gonna give you some provision.
Yes, yes, and I understand. I mean, you know, I'm trying to understand. It's just like because he's been silent for almost a year, but a year on the fourth that since he haven't heard a word and not woke. You know, sometimes he talks to you in your sleep, but when you're woke. I haven't heard a word. And I just, okay, Lord. Somebody was saying Esther had to be purified for a year before she met the king. And it's been a year for me. So separating me, and separating me more from things that aren't clean.
Amen.
But I'm trusting in him. And sometimes
Amen.
You just got to trust, even though nobody, you know, God calls you and people know your past, they don't believe that you can be changed in Christ. And as you are changed in Christ, they only remember your past. They're not seeing you for who you
mm-hmm.
are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about that the, you know, he often used people that confound the wise, you know.
That's right. That's right.
The people who go, he invites to the wedding supper are the good and bad and the parable, because the people thought they were supposed to go. They were too busy.
Mm-hmm.
They were too busy to go to the wedding supper. And then they killed his servants when they came to get him the second time, or the third time, I can't remember, the second or third time. And God was mad, and he killed those. And he sent his other servants to the highway to get the good and the bad. And he only put one of those out because they didn't have the right garment on.
Mm-hmm.
The garment of, which I think is the garment of salvation, the garment of belief that you were saved. You still, you know, instead of being persecuted, And even though you reach out to your family or friends or even a minister to say, hey, something's going on with me, something, nobody hears you. The only person you can talk to is you and God. You be sitting there,
hmm.
Jesus. Jesus, you know. You know. I said, you know I'm going to call. You knew who I was. Huh?
I said, go ahead. Well, I'm having fun. Go ahead. Praise the Lord.
He said, you know. I said, you know who I was when you called me. And hopefully I do right by you. I do right by you. And I pray that, what's that prayer? The prayer is said, open up, you open up my, open up, span my boundaries, span my territory, and keep
you
your hand on me.
Yeah. Expand
keep your hand on me. Yeah. Put your hand on me, and I don't want to cause no pain. Keep people from me, you know, because I don't want to cause no pain. And that's me.
But you know, the one thing I would say to you, my beloved sister, God has you here for a purpose on the radio with us. And there are many people that are listening. And I will say this. When the Old Testament spoke of a woman, the prophet said, give me to eat first. And she said, give you? She said, wait a minute, I don't have enough for my own stuff and my child is about to die. The prophet began to speak to her and tell her to go and get every bucket, foot tub, 15, get everything because God's going to bless you. And we read in the Bible where in the Old Testament, when the prophet blessed that food, he laid on the child first, and the child was raised. And look what God did to her, from a poor woman to a rich woman.
Amen.
That's how God operates. The simple thing. The simple thing is so simple. A lady was saying she want to make some different things. I said, don't do it. She make it, and now they sell it like 900. But put God first. Put God first. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, you got going. You got anything else you want to tell some people you that you know out there that may want to call in and talk? Got a question? This is conversation night. We just talking.
Well, I was just, I can't remember it now. It was something I read today, and that it was in Exodus. And it says, that's what it was, Exodus. It said, I think it was Exodus 31. And it talks about, it said the Lord called, I can't pronounce his name, a particular man of the tribe of Judah to, because he had put, he had put the spirit of God into him, so he made him wise in all things of his, of craftsmanship. I'm paraphrasing. He crafted because he was going to craft everything for the temple of God. And the Lord, I'm thinking, was Jesus. So Jesus was talking to Moses because. He said, I'm just asking for clarification on this one. He said, because the disciples said, he didn't say, I put my spirit into him. He said, I put the spirit of God into this man. You understand what I'm saying?
If he said,
I put my spirit into him, then I would say, okay, that was God. But then he said, the Lord put the spirit of God into him.
What verse is that?
I think it's 31.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get my Bible now. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
chapter 31.
Yeah.
These are the workers who are working for the Lord. Beelzebub. That's who you, Beelzebub.
No, she was talking about Moses. No, that was Moses.
No, he was talking to Moses. God was talking,
yeah,
the Lord was talking to Moses.
Right.
It is. It's in 31:3. In 31:3.
Okay.
And I have filled him with the Spirit of God.
In wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manners of workmanship. Meaning God gave him some understanding in those particular traits. It's like God giving me an understanding of, you know, fixing computers. And, I mean, God give us all a portion of understanding or a portion of knowledge or information. But this particular time, God needed Moses to do something. So he gave Moses, you know, these particular things. And if when you get into the spirit of, if you step into the spirit of God, he's going to give you some things that man can't give you. It's not going to come from man.
No, you get my question. The question is, he said I called for this guy, and the Lord, I gave him the spirit of God. Is he talking like the God is the third person, not
the first
person?
I have filled him with the Spirit of God, but you got to read the whole thing in wisdom and
understanding. The wisdom. Okay.
And in knowledge, but he's not. I mean, he's not getting the full Spirit of God, if that's what you're asking.
No.
Okay.
It sounds like it's Jesus giving him the Spirit of God. It sounds like the first person, the Lord, is like the Spirit of Jesus, as opposed to God himself giving him the Spirit, giving his Spirit into him.
Yeah.
You understand?
Right, but if you go into John, 1 John, it'll tell you who
mm-hmm.
Jesus is. Jesus is the Word. So
yes. The
Word is you can't avoid Jesus nowhere. You can go back to Adam and Eve. And when she said, "Oh, you gave me a man child," she was talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about Jesus. I mean, Jesus is everywhere.
Okay.
You can't miss him. You can't miss him. Moses, whatever Moses did, it was a Jesus move. It was definitely a Jesus move. He got them out of slavery. He can get us out of slavery. He can get us out of slavery of sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever, Jesus, you can't miss Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
I was just making sure, because it's like this is a third-person reference. And the slavery, you remember when in the Bible it talks about 400 years of slavery and that the people, the prophets started praying, they started praying to be freed from slavery, free from bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like we don't direct our prayers as people, and this is just for any people, because it could be financial bondage, curse, family curses, or it could be bondage. And us is our mentality. You have a slavery mentality.
Ooh,
that
Lord.
We pray to be released, that the remnant, that Abraham's seed, is released from their bondage after 400 years because of the pain and suffering that's been upon this land, that we should be praying for freedom, you know, from bondage for everybody, because we all pretty much a mutt, because we are not supposed to look at the outside of a person. We're supposed to look at their heart. And
that's
that's what I be praying. I pray for the weak of God. I said, "Dear God, Please raise up your weak. Please free your weak, for they not be held in bondage anymore." It's just because we're going to be raised with the terror, and the weak going to be raised together, but the weak shall stand tall, just like Joseph.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I just pray for the weak. I mean, because he knows my language. He knows that I don't have a necessary formal education, but he knows.
That's all right.
He knows that I feel that we all should be praying
ain't
for him.
And let me do this. When we see in the Old Testament, we see the type and shadow of Jesus Christ mentioned. From Jesus chapter 1, when God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. In chapter 1 of Genesis, God began to speak. In I think it's 2nd and 3rd verses, and the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
God speaks as one, the Spirit of God. But it was also the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Spirit of God.
Spirit of God. Because it's always through the Old Testament, he's hidden. But he's revealed, and as she said, the 400 years. But Abraham was down there, but the people were still full of slavery. They were been more. When you disobey God, God has a way of getting you to say, okay, well, we got to go through all these folks. But because God said it. But when he sent a man to set him free, and when God sent him, where was Moses at?
In the wilderness? In the wilderness,
said,
unto a bush?
he was brought up in the royal house of Pharaoh.
Yes, he was.
At the king, that threw everything. But God said, call him. Leave him in. Everyone you see in the I called them.
Did we lose him?
I think we lost him. Because I was getting revelation while he was talking. I was like, come back.
So I wonder, are we still on? Or? Oh, there he is.
Hello.
Okay, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello.
See, I lost you, but I went back to talk. The line dropped. I just called it back. But I say this to you because what God wants to use you to do a greater work. A greater word. It's a great, great word that God wants to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say this.
Amen.
Go ahead.
No, I was just listening to you. I was receiving.
Well, all I can say is this much. What I know is I have it from God, calls me to be who I am. I don't try to be puffed up, but I know what God's power can do. I know what the word can do. God has given us power beyond our understanding. And what we have to do is use it. We ain't got to fuss with nobody. We ain't got to fight with nobody. But if we just go in our closet and talk to God, I'm trying to learn 24/7 in His presence because God has a code. His code is, trust me, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you hope? Yes, Lord. And that's what God wants out of all of us. Somebody think they more higher than somebody else. God has a way of putting them back in order. And what God wants to do across America is reach to the unreached and tell the untold. See, we don't want it on our watch that some people we could have preached to and testified to, that they need to know God for themselves through Jesus Christ, and they go to hell, that's going to be charged up. I don't want that on me. When the Spirit said, say it, say it. And that's what God wanted done.
Amen.
Many times Jesus wouldn't speak out because the Father was not speaking. And I know you read the scripture, my beloved sister. Jesus said, the food I'm eating is not a physical food, but it's the food that's given by my Father. And the Father's food is the same to us. Love was, this was love. And I raise the question, since Jesus rose from the dead, my God Almighty, all of his blood was drained out of his body. His body. Where did his blood go, sister? Where was his blood? Where was his blood taken to?
Huh.
Hello?
I'm here. That's a good question.
Okay, I was asking you a question. I said, where was his blood taken to when Jesus, all the blood was drained out of his body? Where was it taken to?
It was taken to the ground.
To the where?
To the ground. It was taken, when he left, when he died, he went down for 3 days in the belly. His blood was sanctifying the land. As they did, and I know in the Old Testament, as they sanctified the mercy seat with the blood, they sanctified Aaron with the blood.
You said they did what now?
They sanctified the mercy seat, sanctified Aaron's clothing. They sanctified his clothing with the blood. And then in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, his blood would drip into the ground to sanctify the land. And that's
okay.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay. May I say this to you? May I say this?
Yes.
Okay. The blood that was drawn out of the veins of Jesus Christ, the very instant he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. At the same time, all the blood in the Bible was drawn out of his body. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus carried his blood. There was not a drop wasted on the earth room.
Oh.
It was taken back to heaven and put on the mercy seat. That was, you said it, the mercy seat, type in shadow. His blood, his royal blood, on the mercy seat for eternity. And then he come back and he went to hell and went down and beat up on the devil big time. Give me the keys. See, it's like Shambach was saying like this. He said, I hear a man out there say he got some power, but he got a stick in his hand. He said, oh, we got him covered. So another man down there in the hill said, Master, said, that's another one coming. He's all scarred up, and he got holes in his hand. He said, oh, my Lord, that's him. And he took the keys from him because Satan was a liar. He had the power of death, and God took it from him. So it gives us to come into the true understanding what God has done through us, Son Jesus Christ. And he went back, and he did that. And he took the dead and led it to that place called there in the bosom of Abraham. And that's what some are right now, according to the word of God. And I'll just say that I love you, what you said, because it was the mercy seat. The mercy seat. And, you know, because you read about that was a holy place and a holy of holy. And the high priest would go in there once a year and have prayer, would he not?
Yeah.
And if he wasn't right before God, he couldn't come out. They put a cable toll on there with bells. The bell was ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. As long as the bells was making noise, he was alive in there. But when he made one mistake, his life had to be a royal condition. And God was still, according to the Bible, God would watch what that priest was doing before he would accept it. And all of a sudden, the big fire, whoops, God has accepted it. Oh, it's over for another year. But God got tired. That's when Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus came on the 500 years ago and whooped the devil, whooped on him good, beat on him good, and I always say, because what he did, he said, I got him covered. Don't worry about him. I got him covered. And all we got to do is just remember, if we can trust God and believe God, God loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody got a prayer request? Does anybody have a prayer request out there in Radio Land? Well, I'd say we got about 15 minutes, and I want to, and sister, please come back next Sunday night again. This is a blessing, an open forum, and we talk about the body of Jesus. And if nobody ever, I want to pray for the entire body, okay?
Okay, amen, yes.
Amen. Father, we come before you this night in the name of Jesus Christ. We want the fullness of your love and understanding upon the name that's above every name, that whereas every knee bow at the name and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And Father, I want to thank you from the rising of the sun to the setting of it. So where we are right now, you're still God. And it's because you sent Jesus Christ for the visitation of our sins. We ask that, Jesus, we come to you humbly. If there's any sin that will keep us from coming for the Father, something we said, something we did, something we thought, something we done wrong, we ask that your blood and you forgive us and lead us to the Holy Father, that we can make the full report. We've overcome the enemy. But we've overcome in that area. And we're still overcoming, Father. And Father, we pray this day for the men and women who don't know you as the Lord and Savior, that they will come to know. May our voice be like a horn. May we blow night and day. May we command the enemy to let go of the people. We command Satan and all of his demons in the name of Jesus Christ to release him and let him go. And Father, there's somebody in the hospital right now that needs healing in their body. We believe what your word says. You say that we can believe all things are possible. And Father, we speak to the whole radio audience tonight. We pray for it around the world, all seven continents. But Father, here in America, we need you, Father. We need you because there is violence, there is hatred. The Republican and Democrats are fighting, the president. We pray for them in power, Father. Pray that they will come to an understanding. The world and ourselves, it belongs to Jesus. And Jesus, we just declare in your name tonight that you will let us down into the royalness that we may pull out the blessings of Abraham and understand it was you, Jesus. You started a good work in us. You started it, not us, but you did, Jesus. And you promised us that you will do it till you shall come back harmless. And we love America from state to state, from ship to shore. We love. And Father, somebody, I don't know that's on this line. You bless them. I pray my voice was inspiring to them. I pray that they will hear and understand. I pray that you will love them. I thank you for the radio station on the internet that you have given us, Father, that we can reach out and touch the untouched and tell the untold. The Word of God is vibrant. It's alive, it's quick, and it's sharp. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you said. You have presented us to the Father, and you said to the Father, I have lost none. All that you gave me, and you kept us, Father, through Jesus Christ. And we down here in this earth realm, and you're watching us. I pray that we will sanctify ourselves. We will solidify ourselves. We become prayer watchers. We become prayers, believers, because your arm is not short that it cannot be stretched out for us. We believe, Father. You said we have the word to create, to call. We can speak miracles into existence because you've given us authority, Jesus. You've given it to us. It's up to us to use it, because we can speak a word that change everything in our families, in our communities, in our state, prison, hospitals. The political analysis will come to know, I've never met a person like this before. They must be from God. And Father, we want them to know that through Jesus Christ, we are from you. The weapons of our warfare are not come, but they are mighty through you, Father, for the pulling down of strongholds. If there be any strongholds in us, pull them down. Pull them down, pull them down, that you may be blessed through us. We love you, Father. It's because of you that we have what we have. We are who we are, and we love you. Bless this lady. Bless her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Let the anointing that breaks every yoke. It is the yoke that breaks the bondage, the chains, the fetters, the sickness and disease. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. And we just believe tonight that all things are working together, Father. Somebody's riding, somebody's in the air, in a plane somewhere. Watch over them. Watch over them, Father. I just want to thank you for everything you've done today. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my wife. Thank you for my son, his wife, and son to come, and my daughter and husband, and grandsons, and to the extended family on the right side, left side, the front, the back, my neighbors. Bless them, Father. Creating us a clean heart, Father, that we might be what you call us to be. Because the time has come, Father. I have to trust you. I must trust you. I said, I love you. I love you because you first loved me. You first loved me. You first loved me. For your word said, while I was yet a sinner, you loved us, Father, and Jesus paid a price for us. You loved us. You loved us, Father. Now, thank you. You're still God Almighty. You're still merciful. You're still royal. And I pray this night, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that miracle will start happening in our lives. Yes. For those that can believe, can go out into the place as the apostles did, Father. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give to you.
Yes.
That such is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you, Holy Spirit, because you're the one who lead us, and you unction to us. You're the holy unction, and you let us know. And then, Father, my request is that you will let me be humble to you, submissive, obedient, and to carry out your plans, not my plans, not what I think, not how I believe it, what I see, but what your plans are in the royal code. Love ye one another as I have loved you, and by this the world will know that I am your disciple. I want to thank you this night, Father. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for it. And I ask you tonight, through Jesus' name, that you will bless us and keep us. My prayer before you is Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You got some more time left. Anybody got something else you want to say?
Yeah, I want to tell my sister something, my sister in Christ Jesus. And this is coming from Jesus. And this is coming from, where is it coming from? John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 17. And I'm just getting this feeling that, you know, you're feeling condemned or people are condemning you. I just want you to know that Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking, verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, condemnation doesn't come from God.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't. He already know we sinners. So there's no condemnation in there. So if there are any condemnation, I'm going to briefly give you the difference between condemnation and judgment. Judgment is, son, don't go that route. That's not good for you. Condemnation is, I told you not to go that route, and I knew this was going to happen to you, and this and this, and then I keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. That's condemnation. But when you tell someone, hey, that's not the road you need to go, either you leave it alone and let it go, because obviously God is going to work with them, because you can't change them and you can't make them no better or no worse than what they are. But for our own self, and I know my self condemnation. I got it bad. I'm hard on myself. I judge myself harsh. I judge myself so harshly sometimes. God be like, you know, I didn't tell you to judge yourself that way. I didn't tell you to go that way. I didn't tell you to keep that temper. You need to let that go. I forgive you. I forgave you of that. Your sins are on the cross. That's where your sins are. They're on the cross. It's been done. I finished that. I finished that part of you. Now you are holy because you're standing under me. You're righteous because you're standing under me. And, you know, sometimes the righteousness in me stands up and God be like, well, you know, hey, son, the righteousness comes from me, not from you. But I like I said, self-condemnation is the tough one because I'm an expert on that one. But condemnation from other people, that's an easy fix for me because I tell them in a heartbeat. I was like, you know, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but that has been forgiven of me. Don't let nobody bring what you did in your past in your face, because you know that's coming straight from the evil one, directly from his forces. There's nothing but his forces, and don't get mad at the person.
No,
because just like he said, it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against. It's some principalities. It's some forces. It's a whole force that's behind that. So either you can do what Jesus did, give him some word. Now that's what Jesus said. Jesus said the word says, and that's what you can give him some word, or you can walk away. Because you know I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of people in our lives that we just need to cut out. We just need to cut them off because if they're condemning us constantly, that means they're working directly for the evil one. They're listening actually to the evil one. The evil one tell them, hey, she used to such and such, and she used to do this, and he used to do that, and he did this, and he did this. That's on the cross. I would tell them that's on the cross.
That's on the cross. No, what had happened was you felt that and God was revealing it to you. It was just like when he was praying, and it was such a beautiful prayer, and that I was connecting with God and agreeing with him, and there was Satan in my ear. And that's what you was feeling. And that's what – and he does that. He tries to attack me as I'm connecting to – if you can't use a person, he'll come directly with that spirit.
Oh yeah.
And I agree with you. That's what was going on. I was capturing it and releasing it.
Yeah. Well, don't capture. Just don't. You know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Turn him off.
Yeah.
Turn him off. And trust me, he ain't gonna stop trying though.
Oh, no.
He ain't going to stop trying. He going to come up with a new avenue or a new approach. Well, I wouldn't even say it's new because it's the same thing he did Adam and Eve. He's going to mix a little truth, with a lie and yeah. dress it up and tell you that's what it is.
Right.
But you don't have to accept it. You don't
no,
have
I don't
to
accept it. No, because I know okay. who I'm in God. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I will say this. We got about a minute left, and I want to put my email out there so people can send me the email. It's WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. And I will say this to our audience and those who listen tonight. We've tried to make our lives much richer in the body of Christ, get better mm-hmm. understanding, not putting somebody down. But we want to lift up the name of Jesus because
that's
the
right.
last day we lives in, and as the old man said, when last seen, they were headed to the mountaintop. Because God is still there for us. We don't know when he's going to come back. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Pray ye that when he come, we'll not be ashamed of him. We will not be ashamed of him. And remember, we hear every night on the radio station, KASK radio station. We hear Monday through Sundays through Saturdays. We're on here live, and we have different topics. We have different ministers. And I want to let you know tonight, all of you who listen with me and who partake with us tonight, I pray for you. I pray God's strength upon you, and his peace of him will be on you until such time. I see you on the other side. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you too, sir. You have a good night.
I love you too,
right.
both of y'all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.